Canto 10, Chapter 52, Text 3. Tapasara yuto diro Nishango mukta samsaya Samadayamana Krishne Pravishaganamaranam Tapasara yuto diro Nishango mukta samsaya Samadayamana Krishne Pravishagandamaranam Tapasara yuto diro Nishango mukta samsaya Samadayamana Krishne Pravishadgandamaranam Tapa, in austerities. Sada, faith. Yuta, having. Dira, serious. Nishanga, detached from material association. Mukta, freed. Samsaya, of doubts. Samadaya, fixing in trance. Manaha, his mind. Krishne, upon Lord Krishna. Pravisha, he entered upon. Gandhamaranam, the mountain known as Gandhamarana. Translation: the sober king, beyond material association and free of doubt, was convinced of the value of austerity. Absorbing his mind in Lord Krishna, he came to Gandhamarana mountain. Purport: The name Gandhamadana indicates a place of delightful fragrances. Undoubtedly, Gandhamadana was filled with the aroma of wildflowers and forest honey and with other natural scents. Translation, please repeat. The sober king,
the sober king,
beyond material association, and free of doubt, was convinced of the value of austerity.
Absorbing his mind in Lord Krishna,
he came to Gandhamadana mountain. So, this very unusual pastime of King Muchikunda is told here. Now we're seeing that after having darshan of Lord Krishna, the king was overwhelmed seeing the Lord in front of him. We know the history of how the king had helped the devas, the demigods, in battle, and growing tired and weary, asked that he be just able to sleep for a long time and no one disturb him. Krishna, of course, came at a later time and entered the cave that Muchikunda had chosen to rest in. Of course, that Kalayavana, that the Yavana king from the south, was following Krishna, wanting to kill Krishna, fight and kill Krishna. But of course, when he entered the cave, King Muchikunda had the benediction. If someone prematurely awakened him from the sleep, whose ever gaze his eyes fell on, rather the gaze of his eyes, whoever the person who when he looked at that person will be burnt to flames from unduly awakening him from his sleep. So Krishna came there, of course, and just he knew everything, and he just went in the cave, and Kalayavana followed Krishna in, and he thought that Krishna was lying there, and he kicked who he thought was Krishna very hard. But it was King Muchikunda. When Muchikunda awoke, Kalayavana was burnt to ashes. So then, of course, King Muchikunda was very amazed at seeing Krishna and the beauty of Krishna, the effulgence of Krishna. He could not understand immediately who this wonderful personality was, but after some time, Krishna explained his own position. He could understand that this was none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he felt himself very fortunate. Having had that wonderful experience, an opportunity, and listening to Krishna, now we see that King Muchikunda is leaving the cave, and in yesterday's verse we read about how when King Muchikunda came out of the cave, he'd been sleeping for so long in the cave that now there was another age, the age of Kali, Kali Yuga. And he was sleeping since even a former age, somehow or other. He was sleeping that long. And now was another age, the Kali. And in yesterday's verse it was mentioned how things had changed due to the coming of Kali Yuga. We're seeing even now, we're in Kali Yuga, how things are changing quite often. The prediction is that for the worse. And when King Muchikunda came out, he could see that everything was severely reduced, everything was smaller in size, and in the purport it's mentioned not only smaller in size, but people had become more malicious, had become more distressed, pained, wicked, indigent. All these words are used to describe the condition of not only people living in Kali Yuga, but also explained here, people living in Kali Yuga, animals, plants, trees, everything. So this is unfortunately the situation in this age. that there are so many problems. So he was very amazed to see that this situation, that his mind was fixed on completely coming to a totally surrendered position and fixed position of focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to do that, he decided to continue, perform tapasya. And it was mentioned the words Jagama Disham Uttaram. He went to the north. He went to the north, and going to the north, according to the Vedic culture, what meant a life of going to the Himalayas. And going to the Himalayas means you're giving up your worldly life, your material life, and just meditating on and performing austerity for the purpose of becoming more and more Krishna conscious. Now, here is also mentioned, of course, in the Himalayas, there are many beautiful places, as mentioned in this verse today. Gandhamadana Mountain. Gandhamadana, the place of delightful fragrances. There are many wildflowers, forest honey. Still in the Himalayas, it was like that. We see in the Kali Yuga, even these things are becoming less. To have nice flowers with a beautiful fragrance, everything is becoming less. So nice food, nice vegetables, nice fruit. Hard to get good vegetables, hard to get good fruit these days, isn't it? This is the situation. And it's also mentioned that in the former ages, everything was much more beautiful. A lot more flowers, the trees were nice, and there were plenty of fruits and vegetables. And then now we can't even get water in Australia. There's like that drought all over. So not even water. If we can't get water, then how are we going to get the other things? we can't get water, how are we going to get vegetables? How are we going to get anything to eat? Of course, God's arrangement is so nice that normally these things are plentiful. In the former ages they were plentiful, but now in Kali Yuga things are reduced and restricted because of the reaction, the karma, the reaction to the sinful activities. Everything is restricted, and this is a result of people's actions. So even now the basic necessities of water we can't get, but God's arrangement is so nice that water is preserved in the ocean with salt, and then the sun shining on the ocean, evaporating the water, and then clouds are formed. The wind comes, blows the clouds back over the land, and we get the pure water. Now, of course, that is restricted due to sinful activities. So the materialists have thought, well, what to do in our predicament? No water. We'll have to do the same thing that God already does. We'll have to get the desalination plants and have the desalination plant that they set up out there in the ocean. And they, what do? They take the salt from the water, and then a great cost, take the salt from the water, and then they bring it in, pump it into whatever arrangement they make, and then we can get a little bit of water. But God has already made that a nice arrangement where He preserves the water and takes the salt from it by natural arrangement of the sun. So if we follow God's arrangement nicely, but people are not interested, unfortunately. Therefore, there's reactions. Therefore, there is shortage. Or where one side there's too much water, another side there's not enough water. So therefore, there's no water. There can be no grains. There can be no fruit or vegetables. These things will become more and more. So, but still, when Muchikunda, now he was in the start of the Kali, now must have been just at the start because Krishna was still present. Actually, maybe even from the Dwarka Yuga. Maybe he was it that King Muchikunda was even from the former age, and because Krishna was present, and even from the former age of the Dwarka Yuga, he was seeing the reduction. Not yet Kali. No, it's mentioned about Kali here. Can anyone remember back through the verses? These are the symptoms of the age of Kali. And thus realizing the age of Kali was at hand. Okay. So just at the time of Krishna, Krishna was... he came at the end of the Kali Yuga, end of the Dwapara Yuga, and Kali was just coming, and even Kali hadn't fully come. Still, King Muchikunda was noticing the reduction. And then, of course, when Kali, now we're in Kali Yuga, there are even further and further and further reductions. So, this is the situation. But as I said, he was absorbing his mind in Lord Krishna. He went to the Himalaya, still in the mountain areas, and you can still go to areas. Formerly, everywhere was very beautiful, but now you have to go far away to find beautiful places. There's not, you know, before beautiful places were everywhere. Now you have to go, and you see people heading out. You know, just like now it's been the Easter holidays and now the school holidays, and people like to get out of the cities to go find the beautiful places. In Australia here, you have to travel a long way. Or perhaps you want to go overseas somewhere to find a beautiful place. Find that special area. Yeah. And then there's becoming less and less and less, and more people are trying to go there, so it's becoming overrun with people. You can't even when you go there, you can't enjoy because there's so many people there. Right? It's like in America, they have these big sequoia forests and all these big forests of big trees and that, but it's becoming so overrun with tourists that they have, you know, the trees are suffering and the everything's suffering. So now what to do. The Grand Canyon over there, you know, they have to do things to alleviate so many people coming in. Unfortunately, we're in a situation like that. King Muchikunda, he went to the Himalaya. Now, here is mentioned that there are many hermitages there, many sages living there already. It's very beautiful. I've been up to Badrika. He went to Badrika Ashram, which is in the next verse. I've been up to Badrika Ashram in the Himalaya. And on the way, it's very beautiful. Jyoti. What is that? Jyoti Mart is just before. You can only go, I think, for 6 months roundabout. It's pretty much snowed out. So only the great sages and yogis can stay there at that time. That is the real tapasya time. Now is a good time to go up to the Himalaya in India, because now it's very hot. So you'll find all the people of India, a lot of people in India, they go up to the Himalayas. They go to these places like Badrikashram. So it's not so much a tapasya now, but certainly in the snow. And formerly the great sages, they would stay there all year round. Even Badrika Ashram, when the snow time comes, everyone comes down. You can't go up. They don't allow you to go up. And the deity is... now I don't know what if they even bring the deity, but before they used to just leave the deity. And one time I went, the head priest told me that we just leave the arti utensils out, and when we come back, we see that they are being used. So he meant to say that, he said, someone comes here and worships the deity. We cannot stay here because it's too cold. But someone comes. He said, the real yogis come. He said, here, there are many caves here in the Badrika Ashram area, and many people live in the caves. And I remember saying to him, I said, oh, they must be the real yogis who live in the caves here. They're very austere. He said, no, they're not, so not all of them are like that. He said, mostly they're just here in the village. They just sleep there at night. Free rent. He said that, so They're going there. And they come into the village at night. Or they come in during the day, they come into the village. But there are some in the Himalaya who they are the real yogis. They are practicing a lot of tapasya. They stay right throughout the year. They are advanced in yoga practice. They know how to live in all conditions. So the king was, didn't have any doubt about what he wanted to do. Here it is mentioned, free from doubt. Tapasada, he had firm faith. Tapasada, you told Diro, he was Dira. He was very serious about. Now, if you want to advance in spiritual life, you have to be serious. There are many who take it casually, but they'll get a very casual result. But if you want to actually advance, or especially you want to advance very quickly, then you have to become dira. You have to become serious. You have to become a sober person, a grave person about your spiritual life. So in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada always used to say, I'm not interested in getting millions of followers. I want that people take this seriously, take the spiritual life seriously. If I were to just say, just chant Hare Krishna and do as you like, do anything you feel like doing, I would have millions of followers. He said, but I'm not interested. I'm actually want to see that someone makes spiritual advancement. So therefore, in the beginning, there has to be some tapasya. We have some restrictions as far as indulgence in material activity, especially in sinful life. Therefore, we have some restriction. And because we have some restrictions, not everyone wants to follow it. Not everyone wants to follow this process. We have some restriction. We don't allow intoxication. Practically, the whole world is existing on intoxication in some form or other. But we say no intoxication. So, these days, if they're not taking illegal drugs of some form or other, they're taking legal ones, or they're taking alcohol. So the whole world has to have this intoxication, but we're saying this is not good for your spiritual life. Because some people think it's very good for your spiritual life. Oh, this is very good. Everyone should take a marijuana or take some drugs or something like that. It's very good for your spiritual life. But Prabhupada says, no need for these things. They're artificial. Spiritual life is already here within you. You have to follow the proper process. No need for these things. Prabhupada said like that. Meat eating, not allowed. These things are not allowed. But so because we say like that, they cannot. I was just listening to a lecture where Prabhupada was mentioning about was a Lord Zetland in England. I think one of the Bon Maharajas, one of the God Brothers, was meeting with him, and he was asking, "What is your Krishna? Or what are some of the principles of your Krishna consciousness?" And he said, "We are chanting Hare Krishna, and we follow, we refrain from these types of activities." And then Lord Zetland, he said, "Impossible! Can't be done. Can't be done. Impossible." So generally, for people, impossible. But if someone is sincere, then not only possible, but becomes easy. Because you are chanting Hare Krishna, you are associating with the devotees, and you are feeling a great bliss and pleasure. So there's no problem to, if someone has something better, then easy to give up the inferior things. So, but very important to develop firm faith and become free from any doubt. Of course, it's expected that there'll be some doubts. In the very beginning, you don't know anything about Krishna consciousness. You inquire into Krishna consciousness. There may be some things you immediately accept, but other things you're a bit doubtful. So, what does Krishna say as far as the doubts? Tasmadagyana, sambhutam, richtam, gyanasinatmana, chitpayanam, samsayam, yogam, atishtatishta bharata. The doubts should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. So, doubts come from ignorance. Everyone has doubts in the material world because you cannot be freed from ignorance. There's no one in the material world who can say, I have no doubts. Someone may say, but actually it cannot be. Because in the material world, there's ignorance. Where there's ignorance, there must be. Where there's ignorance, there's not knowledge. So if you're not in knowledge, then there must be some doubts. You don't know everything. And when if you try to do something, then maybe you're thinking, will this be successful or not successful? So, but where there's knowledge, there can be no doubt. So therefore, Krishna instructs in that way. Slash with the weapon of knowledge, the doubts born of ignorance, tasmana jnana, some rich tamgyana, chitman, something. Without, have no doubts. So King Muchikunda was like that. He had no doubts. He had firm shraddha. He had firm faith. Now, ador shraddha, tarasadha. Now, faith is developed by association with devotees. Your faith becomes stronger and stronger. When your faith is weak, then you won't be able to stick to the process of devotional. So actually, in anything, if your faith is weak in anything, you won't be able to stick to it. Even in material life, you don't have much faith in it. You know, you want to do this, but then you develop doubts, and you don't, or someone says, oh, you have to do this, and you haven't got much faith in it, so you won't be able to stick to it. So even in material life, if your faith is weak, you won't be able to stick. Same to spiritual. If your faith is weak, you won't be able to stick. So how to make your faith strong? Association with devotees and cultivating transcendental knowledge. Ado shada, tata sadhu, sangut. And taking up the process of Krishna consciousness. Following all these. We were just reading in Perth, where in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is instructing Uddhava about the principles to follow in Krishna consciousness, worshipping the deity, chanting, singing songs about Krishna, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna, and so on. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita. Krishna was instructing how to become more and more advanced, and by following this process. And then this is very auspicious. If one follows this process, all auspiciousness comes, even while living in the material world. And at the end, you go back home, back to Godhead. So along the way, there may be some difficulty. Just you're becoming adjusted. You've just come from the material life. Maybe there's some anxiety. I remember many years ago, one new bhakta came. He said, Maharaj, I think I have to leave the ashram. I'm experiencing too much anxiety. I said, well, that may be. We can see what is causing your anxiety, but don't think that going in the material life, that anxiety will stop. Material life is, the material world is called Kunta, the place of anxiety. You came to the Krishna consciousness because you were feeling anxiety. So now you're feeling anxiety in Krishna consciousness. We can explore why that may be. But even if you are feeling anxiety in Krishna consciousness and it continues for some time, still at the end, that anxiety will become less. And at the end, you go back home, back to God. Now, if you return to the material life, there will be anxiety, and generally anxiety increases, doesn't decrease. It increases in one way or another. And at the end, what is the end result? The end result is another life, another birth in the material world. Who knows what that birth will be? So at least you may be in anxiety here. You'll also be in anxiety in the material world. But at least, even if you are in anxiety here, the end result is better. And not only that, we can work to alleviate the anxiety. So in this way, I was speaking to him, convinced him that he should keep trying in the Krishna consciousness. And it's to be expected. You can't expect immediately I'll be 100% Krishna conscious. No. We've had many lives in the material world. So it takes time. Now, of course, immediately can happen. If you immediately surrender to Krishna with all your mind and your body and all your thoughts, then immediately you can be on the path. But generally, we don't see that immediately everyone does that. So therefore, the process is given. And it's to be expected there'll be some difficulties. Therefore, the guru is there. The Vaishnavas are there. The Shastras are there. Everything. So many ways we can... so many facilities are there. We can use these ways and these facilities to overcome the difficulties. You have to have a positive outlook. You have to have faith. When your faith is strong and you're feeling very positive, then when the difficulties come, you will look to overcome them. But if your faith is weak and you have a negative attitude, when the difficulties come, then you will want to run away. That is true in everything. If you're following a materialistic path, whatever you're doing, if you're negative about it, as soon as there's one difficulty, oh, that's it. That's what you were looking for, the difficulty. It's just an excuse to run away. Right? If you're negative about a thing, you'll look for the difficulties practically and use them as an excuse. And just like went to many years ago, when I had a bus, I used to travel around Australia with many brahmacharis doing programs everywhere. So one time I asked a new bhakta, the bus needs to be washed. Can you find some things and wash the bus? So I could tell that this bhakta didn't want to do it. He was very negative about it. So then after a couple of minutes, I can't find a bucket. Okay, we'll find a bucket for you. So we found the bucket. Where do I get some water? I can't find any water to put in the bucket. So I look, there's a tap over there. Just go over there and get some water. And he comes back. I haven't got any sponge to do anything. All right, we'll find you a sponge. It's too high up there. I can't reach. So we'll get a little rod and we'll extend it so you can reach up the top. And then one after the other. Then in the end I said, look... You have to develop a more positive attitude about doing some service. He was just looking for any excuse to not do it. It has to be done. And so the others are doing other things, so you have to do this. So this is an example of someone with a negative attitude. But someone with a positive attitude, he will just, whatever comes up, he will overcome. So in Krishna consciousness, we always have to be positive. This is one of the principles given by Rupa Goswami. Utsahan nishtaya darya tat tat kama pavadana. Sangatya vitsari sadbi bhakti vinasyati, isn't it? Endeavoring with confidence. You have to have your confidence. You have to, and that confidence means positive attitude. So this King Muchikunda had firm faith. He had no doubt what he wanted to do. And he was beyond material association. This is an interesting position for someone. Beyond material. Now, Nirmanamo Ajita Sangha Dosha Ajatmanitya Vinivita Kama Dandi Mukta Sukha Dukkha Sangha Gijantimudam Abhyam Tat. There's one verse where Krishna explains to Arjuna. Nirmanamo Ajita Sangha. One has to give up material association. Beyond the effect of, and here King Muchikunda was beyond material association. In other words, he was in the world, but he was beyond being affected by the world. This is what is meant by beyond material association. That's like a devotee. We live in the world, but we're not going to be affected. Of course, you can be affected if you want to be affected. Prabhupada once said in Hawaii that the people, they are always so much attracted, the man for the woman, woman for the man. This is like, non-stop. and increasing more and more in the Kali Yuga. Why is it so? And he was asking his disciples, and someone said this and someone said that. Prabhupada in the end said, because they want to be like that. They want to be. Because you want it. So if you want to be affected by material association, then you'll go looking for it. But we can associate with so many people in the world, but keep our own Krishna consciousness. This is an important point. So King Muchikunda was going to the Himalaya. Of course, that is a good place for getting away from materialistic civilization. Some places is just overbearing and much more difficult to remain Krishna conscious. So especially recommended for beginning devotees that certain places don't go so much in those areas. You know, just like, you know, devotees don't go and necessarily go into the pubs and things like that. You can go there if you're maybe selling a book to someone, but it's not places we hang out. We like to hang out in the temples and associate with devotees. We don't like to go and hang out in the pubs and hang out in the bars and go to the clubs and like that. But if you're going to do those things, of course, if you're a Paramahansa, you can go anywhere. Paramahansa means the topmost devotee. You will be unaffected. And actually, when you go there, the place will be transformed. They probably won't allow you to go there. Because when the Paramahansa goes there, everyone will just give that up and just start chanting Hare Krishna. So then the owners, they'll be very upset. They'll lose all their money. Prabhupada actually was mentioning in a lecture I was just listening to that. He said that the devotees, if everyone were to become a devotee, then all these places like the gambling places would be closed. And the slaughterhouses would be closed. The brothels will be closed. Meat eating, what else? Gambling, intoxication, and what other places will be closed? Huh? Did I say them all? Gambling places, these places, slaughterhouses, brothels, and pubs. The pubs will be closed. If everyone will become devotees, there will no need for pubs. But therefore, Prabhupada said that many people won't like that. That's why they don't think it would be very good. I remember one time Prabhupada was giving a lecture in maybe Hyderabad or some place like that. And one lady said, what would happen? So everyone in the world became Krishna conscious. What would happen to the world? She was very worried. What would happen to the world if everyone became Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada said, oh, it would be a very nice place. There would be no more of these things. And he actually went through. He said the same thing, more or less. There would be no more of these things. It would be like Vaikuntha. It would be a very nice place. But everyone's so used to having these things. I think it would have to be very horrible if we didn't have our pubs. If we didn't have, we couldn't go to McDonald's and get a chicken or a burger. And what a horrible place. Wouldn't be the world anymore. But it would be so much better. You'd have no need of these things. But because the people don't know, they're in ignorance, they don't know what life is like without these things, how much better life can be in a spiritual way, then they're afraid. They're a bit afraid, actually, that, if we become a devotee, I'll have to give up these things. And what will my life be like? I won't be able to go here and go there and do this and do that. And people have become very attached to these things. And not only that, but people are not only attached to these things, but they're very attached to making money off these things. Governments of the world are very attached to making money off these things. So gradually, we have to spread this Krishna consciousness. At the same time, we have to understand there may be great opposition. I mean, you know, because when people start to realize, oh, they're talking about the principles where, you know, people have to give up these things. We don't like that. That affects our lives. That affects our money. And then they may want to take some action, go against the devotees because of that. We've experienced that in the past. Sometimes people want to take action because of, you know, they're saying things that could affect our livelihood. So we want to take action against them. But nevertheless, you know, one has to follow the path that is the most auspicious. For them, Prabhupada said, this Krishna consciousness is most auspicious for the individual, most auspicious for the world. So it takes tapasya. Now, in this age, Prabhupada never said to practice this type of tapasya. King Muchikunda went to the Himalaya. But Prabhupada never said for the devotees to go and practice tapasya in the Himalaya, go live in Madhrika Ashram or not. He said, no, you can stay wherever you are. This is actually Lord Chaitanya. He was instructing in that way. It was that Brahmin in South India. I think he wanted to follow him, Krishna. That's what. There was one Brahmin who wanted to... Corona, maybe. One Brahmin, Lord Chaitanya was staying at his house. And then after Lord Chaitanya, he was going, and then the Brahmin wanted to travel with him. Leave his family and everything and just travel with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, no. He sent him back. He said, no, no need to leave your family and travel with me. You can just stay here. Stay at home. But just practice your Krishna consciousness. So this is Lord Chaitanya's instruction. So Prabhupada is also preaching the same message. Wherever we are, we can practice our Krishna consciousness. We don't have to go to the Himalaya. It can be very difficult to attract people to the Krishna consciousness if one of Prabhupada's requirements was, all right, now you've become a devotee, you'll all have to go up the Himalayas. Right? You all have to live in the Himalayas and the whole year round. Snow, everything. Not allowed to come down. I don't think we'd have too many followers. So one has to be practical. The acharya has to be practical for the age, but without compromising the principle. I'm reading in Sridhar Kiri's book where he asked Prabhupada about how does one know whether something is practical, what is practical, or what is going, what is principle and what is compromising the principle in the name of being practical. And Prabhupada just answered, oh, that takes a little intelligence, how to understand the difference. And the acharyas, of course, the great acharyas, they had that intelligence. How to present the Krishna consciousness without in the modern era and without compromising the principle. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that it's more essential to follow the instructions of the recent acharyas even more so than the predecessor acharyas. Because the recent acharyas, they present Krishna consciousness for the time and place and relevant instructions for the time and place. So therefore it's more important to follow the recent acharyas and the present acharya as far as the principle of Krishna consciousness. Because what was said thousands of years ago may not be so practical. Go and live in the Himalaya, just like you read about, you know, even the brahmacharis wearing just, you know, the kopin, walking with just loincloth. Now, if Prabhupada said, now in the Bhagavatam, it says that the brahmachari would just go with loincloth. So all you devotees, brahmachari, you have to wear just loincloth then. And go out and sell books in Swanson Street just with loincloth. Right? Imagine. Someone may say, well, it was in the Shastra. It says like that. But what would happen if you went in the loincloth in Swanson Street to sell Bhagavad Gita? And immediately someone would ring the police and they would take you away. isn't it? That Prabhupada said. And just like there's an injunction for sannyasis, they should travel in no shoes, no sewn cloth. Sannyasis, one injunction is no sewn cloth. Actually, there's another injunction that shouldn't travel over the water even. Just to stay and not travel with that. But there are many injunctions, but how to understand those things? Therefore, you have to understand by the explanation of the present acharyas, the present guru and the present acharyas. For this age, what is the instruction? Otherwise, we read, and we read these things, and therefore we can come to a conclusion that is not practical, or even the wrong conclusion. So King Muchikunda went to the Himalayas, went to Badrikashram. Of course, we can go and visit Badrikashram. But Prabhupada never said, go and live in the Badrikashram, go and live in the Himalayas. He said, no. Even he said, come to Mayapur Dham, come to Vrindavan Dham, then come back and go out and spread to Krishna consciousness all over. He said like that. He said, he gave instruction that some could come, but not all. Sometimes devotees, they just want to go and live Vrindavan or live Mayapur. Very nice to go and live there. But Prabhupada said, no, you come. And some can stay for service, but the rest of you, he said, you come and be purified by coming to the Holy Name, and then you go back and try to give the others this Krishna consciousness. So this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Now one has to, if one is a follower of the Acharya, follower of the Guru, one has to also try to follow his mood. As well as his direct instruction, practical instruction. Well, I'll read this verse again. Tapa shara yuto diro nishango mukta samsaya samarayamana krishne pravishad gandamadanam. The sober king, beyond material association and free of doubt, was convinced of the value of austerity. Absorbing his mind in Lord Krishna, he came to Gandamana the mountain. Any question? Comment?
No, it's an interesting point you're just making there about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that's what you're saying following more recent charities. Because often you see that words when they want to establish a particular point, rather than seeing what Prabhupada says, they'll refer to Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Rupa Goswami or something like that, so they can say a particular point. I was just wondering, could you remember where Bhaktivinoda Thakur says
that? I think it could be in the Jiva Dharma or whatever. I'm not exactly positive. I might have it on my computer, actually. Look it up. When I read it, I noted it. So I'm thinking I might have even written it down and kept it. I can perhaps find that for you. But I think it's one of those books, one of his books like that.
Do we consider our recent acharyas back to Rupa Goswami?
Well, I mean, he doesn't say exactly up to this acharya or that acharya. He just says recent acharyas. I mean, I would understand that to be recent means, he says rather than even predecessor acharya, he said recent means present right now, and maybe recent means recent. I mean, you can interpret that. Oh, recent can mean 500 years, it can mean 5,000 years ago. That's recent. But really, the way when he says it and the way he's talking there means, present now is the recent acharya. He says present now. Or at least just before, maybe Prabhupada said, and what Bhakti said under Saraswati Thakur said, But he meant like that. And and he was writing it, so he's... My understanding when I read it was that even from himself, recent acharya himself, just recent now acharyas. Any other question? Jai Guru Sri Prabhupada ki.